Welcome, guys, to the 69th episode of the Dapper Gaming Podcast for September 14th. I'm your host, Ryan, and with me, as always, at least, usually, Joe. He's back.
Bow wow. 69. That's why 69. I'm back.
That's, you're practically a guest at this point.
Hey!
But you're back. You have internet now. What's it like? Tell the people why you've been gone for so long.
I moved, and then I didn't have internet for 2 months, and it made me want to kill myself. It was horrible.
I don't know if I could live without internet for 2 months. I did it for 2 weeks.
I literally survived because of my girlfriend. She gave me a shit ton of games to play and a shit ton of TV series to watch. So I've been kept occupied with that kind of stuff.
Sounds fun.
It was.
I survived my 2 weeks by going to Disneyland. So we haven't done a podcast in 3 weeks because Joe didn't have internet for 2 months and I left the country for 2 weeks. So,
yay!
Yeah, it's been a while. There's so many things to talk about, but let's just talk about what we've been doing, I guess. Catch us up on the last 2 months. What games you've been playing? What TV have you watched?
I've been watching two TV series. One is called Person of Interest, and the other one is called Lie to Me. Person of Interest is pretty much just about a guy who makes this computer program that watches everyone and basically says when they're a threat or when they might die. And they go out of their way to protect them. And then the other one is about a detective who can like read facial emotions, and he does all these cases where he tells if people are lying or not. So they're both really cool shows. I got really addicted to them. And then I also recently played the first Ratchet & Clank game in the Future series. I think it was like Crack in Time, I think was the one I played. It was good. I was expecting the new like Future series to not be as good as the old ones, but this one was probably as good or even better than the original trilogy, which was great to see. I like that. I can't wait to play the two other ones, the Nexus one and whatever the other one's called. And I played Uncharted for the first time. I played the first Uncharted, which I highly enjoyed. That was a great game. What else did I play? I played Infamous for the first time because since I moved, my stepdad owns a PS3, so I've been getting to play it. I put it in my room and I got a bunch of games for it. So I played Infamous, I played Uncharted, played Little Big Planet, all great games, all amazing, so much fun. Other than that, I also got Gears of War Judgment, which is weird. It was good, but weird.
Good.
It was good. If you're a fan of Gears of War, you're going to enjoy the game. The campaign was interesting. It had its own kind of spin to it, which was nice. It was different than the other games. And then other than that, I've been playing Destiny. Probably put a lot of hours into it. Let's just say that.
So tell me all of your opinions about Destiny, because I have opinions about Destiny based on like the little bit of it that I played, but also like all of the stuff that I heard. But
all
you go first.
All of my opinions? Okay. Well, currently the game isn't much. The story's very short. There's not much to the story. There's not much to the lore. Unless you're looking at all of the special cards that you unlock online, that's where a lot of the lore is currently. There's not much of it.
Okay. Yeah. I fucking hate that. Yeah. Most games don't do filling in their lore correct, like, well, when they do it through just like pickups and audio logs. I think like the only one that did it kind of all right was BioShock Infinite. Because there was like enough there that like you filled out the lore by it like without looking for everything, but the extra stuff like filled in a couple of gaps. But yeah. Also the thing that they did well in that is that they did audio logs that you picked up and you could keep walking. Yeah. Where everyone else does it wrong is like you pick this thing up and you have to stop playing the game.
This one it's pretty much like you pick up these dead ghosts and you get them from just like killing enemies and stuff. They're called Grimoire cards. And they're just cards that you can't look at in-game. You have to go onto the Bungie website to look at.
Okay, fuck that. That's a whole step too many instantly. Like, you have to leave the game and go on the internet. Nope.
Yeah, It's not something that I think is a good idea. And the story is very not good at the moment, but
I heard the
it's.
story is really ass because you play through the whole campaign and then it's like the traveler was a thing who was important. It's like, thanks, Bungie.
Basically, most people are judging the story off of what's being shown right now, and it can't really be done that way because you're basically judging
Well,
a
they have a
book by
10-year
the first
roadmap for the
chapter.
game, but it's
Yeah.
like
Exactly. You're pretty
you
much
can't.
judging the story by the first chapter of it. Like, there's more story missions that are coming out. There's going to be more story missions coming this September. All this is free,
But
not
you can't
expansion, not
not.
DLC.
But you can't not judge the game on what content it actually delivers is the thing. Like, the kind of like the thing that is most concerning about Destiny is that the content that's coming could not be good. At like the underpinnings of that game, like shooting aliens is done well, but currently
Yeah.
all the content that's there from like everyone that I've talked to is fucking garbage. Like, go here, kill a couple of guys, or go back to that same place and there's a thing there now. Pick it up. Okay, you're done. Good. It's like,
Most of it's been most of the story missions don't bring you to the same area. There's only like one or two that do, and it's the first couple. Like the first two are like it's like the introduction tutorial mission, and it brings you to an area, and then the second mission brings you back to that same area, but it's to kill like a giant boss, and
yeah, but a lot of a lot of like the
that's the only
missions,
mission.
not just the story ones, like involve going back to the same places more than once. And so like a lot of the people that I know or have like made a really big complaint about this is that it actively encourages you to not explore the game world. And so the game world feels really small because if you explore it while you're off doing a thing, like even if the game world's interesting, you're just gonna have to go back there, but like 20 feet over to that thing that you looked at earlier, and then like and then you're just rehashing stuff. So it's like a lot of rehashing stuff, and the mission content is really similar, where it's like, go here, there's a thing, great, come back. Or go here, kill 10 guys, now the thing is there, now come back.
Most of the time, the stories are very similar. It's like explore this area, find something out, go to this area, deploy your little ghost guy, kill two or three waves of enemies, and then go somewhere else and then fight a boss. And it does get repetitive after a little bit, but there's enough difference in the enemies that they throw at you are constantly different. There's different enemies or different enemy types. Every time you go to a new planet, you meet a whole new race of enemies who have whole like four or five different types of enemies that you can fight within that race. So there's always new enemies to fight as you work your way through the story. And I find that nice.
Yeah, but
Plus,
there's a lot of content that isn't the story. Like,
yeah. Once you At by the time you finish the story, you're about level 18 or 19, and once you hit level 20, that's the point when it becomes a grind fest. At that point, it's pretty much doing strikes and doing bounties and stuff to get your special points to get legendary armors or the exotic armors that you want to level up your character and all that. And basically, all that right now is being used to level your way up for the 16th, because right now on the 16th, there's a level 26 raid coming out, which is going to be the first raid that you'll be able to play. And I think you need to be level 24 or 26 to be able to play it. And it's like a six-man group with a giant mission and includes like three bosses instead of like the strike missions that only have one giant boss. The raids have three. So it's going to be big. It's going to be really cool. It's something that I'm looking forward to. Plus, they're continually adding more story stuff. There's going to be another story thing coming up soon. So it's constantly adding to the game, but right now, as of launch, the story is kind of lackluster. But everything else is really done right. The loot system is a little weird, but it is kind of nice.
I heard it's not very good in that you don't get enough loot. Like, you don't get a lot of loot, but it's like a Diablo-esque style game. And so it's sort of frustrating because, like, you play the game and you're grinding out, but you're not really getting a reward. at least not as many rewards as you would in like Diablo or Borderlands, where every third guy that you kill like drops something. In this, is like two guys will drop something.
Not exactly. If you know what you're doing when you're grinding, there's specific areas you can go to grind easily, and different, like, you can pretty much just run around and kill whoever you want, and it's not going to be like every three guys drop something, but it's like every 8 or 10 people will drop something, and it could be good, it could be bad, it could be exactly what you need, or it could be a legendary. And then there's also different ways of grinding, like, there's a farming run that people have found where you can stand in an area, kill a shit ton of people, and then they'll drop a shit ton of stuff. Like, you can do it for like 2 or 3 hours and get a shit ton of items, like a lot. And then there's also another run called the chest run, which you run around in a circle in an area, you kill enemies, and you pick up like a bunch of randomly spawning chests around that area. So there's loot runs that people have found that are actually really good, and it's pretty easy to find your loot. Plus, whenever you do like a raid mission with like a playlist with a bunch of friends or whatever, whenever you finish it, you get pretty good loot depending on the level you're playing on. So I'm enjoying it. I know there is problems with it, especially in the story wise, it's not great at all. It's not even close to being good at the moment, but
a lot of the, also like some of that voice acting is apparently really fucking atrocious.
I, like, didn't really notice
Peter Dinklage's
much.
Voice acting is apparently pretty bad.
I didn't notice any issues with it. There was maybe like one or two lines where I was like, that sounded weird. But other than that, everything sounded good to me. But then again, there isn't that much, other than Peter Dinklage, there isn't much voice acting to be in the story other than Peter Dinklage.
Yeah, I don't know. That game just doesn't live up to any of its hype, it seems like. Like, there was so much hype behind that game, and like, it's out now, and it's like, yeah, it's alright.
It was definitely overhyped, for sure.
Well, there were some things about that game that also were kind of worrying. They didn't give out review copies, and a lot of the reviewers that I, like, actually pay attention to, specifically, like, Jeff Gerstmann and the guys over at Giant Bomb, they're like, yeah, we didn't get review copies. And then we started playing the game, and their whole, like, stand on why we didn't get review copies was because the game is not the game without other people. And I've fucking seen, like, 9 people since I started playing. So, fuck other people. Like, I've never even talked to them. So, I didn't need them at all. Like, wow. That's worrying. But also, like, a lot of that content on, like, leveling is apparently not very good, and Bungie, like, got out in front of it and was like, the real game doesn't start until you get to the end. Like, the end game content. Yeah. Who needs the first 75% of the game? But all that really means is that 75% of your game's fucking shit. Like,
I've personally enjoyed it a lot so far. The multiplayer is definitely the best multiplayer I've played in a long time. The net coding for it is amazing. It interprets lag. It dedicate. I don't know how they do it, or if it's just a dedicated.
They have dedicated
servers. Yeah, it's basically, if I'm lagging and I start shooting at someone and I die, because of the lag, the game still registers every bullet I shot and detects which bullets should have hit him. So even like 3 seconds after I die, if my bullet should have killed him because of the lag, he'll still die, which is really nice. I've had no issues with lag in that game. I've never felt cheated out of a death. The multiplayer is definitely amazing. It's definitely top notch. Bunch of maps, bunch of game types. They added a new game type already. So the multiplayer is definitely great. If you're into multiplayer, Destiny is definitely just a game for the multiplayer, even if you don't care about the PvE.
I might pick up Destiny just because I might pick up an Xbox. I'm just, and like, what
Uno
else is
or
there
360?
To buy? Uno. An Xbox One.
I want an Xbox Uno.
We had, my girlfriend's brother has an Xbox 360, but
I want them to make a Master Chief bundle. And then I'd get it
for the Xbox One.
Yeah, Master Chief Collector's Edition.
Doesn't that come out like this?
I know.
Fall.
Why is there no bundle? Come on, Microsoft.
There's probably going to be a bundle.
I want your Xbox One bundle. Put it with Master Chief.
There's one with Destiny. If they do a bundle with Sunset Overdrive, then I'm going to get it.
There is. They've already announced it. It's a white Xbox One.
It's a white Xbox One?
Yeah, it's white for Sunset Overdrive.
See, I don't want a white Xbox One, though.
Yeah. See, they announced Sunset Overdrive and a bundle for it, but not for Halo. How's this possible? It's Who Halo. Knows? You know how many people would buy an Xbox One for Halo? A lot, including me.
Yeah. I don't want a white Xbox One because I already have a black Wii U, a black little like media extender for my TV. I have my Sega Genesis under there and my N64. Everything's fucking black. Including my TV.
Get like some black shells for the Xbox One, or just paint it black. Take the case off, spray paint it black.
No, those are all dumb things. I could just buy an Xbox One and get Sunset Overdrive.
That's no fun.
Anyways, I don't know if I'm gonna have money for an Xbox One after I get Hyrule Warriors and Bayonetta 2 this month.
True.
That's all within the next 30 days. Bayonetta 2 is a month away, man.
Man,
it's a month away.
That
shit comes with Bayonetta 1.
I know. And like Zelda characters and Metroid character costumes.
I know. And Hyrule Warriors is going to be sick. That comes out in like 2.5 weeks. I'm so excited.
I remember a couple months ago when you're like, Hyrule Warriors. It's just like Dynasty Warriors. I'm like,
no, I love Dynasty Warriors.
I know. But you were kind of meh on it a while ago.
They've done really neat stuff. When they showed that shit off at E3, I was like, I need this. Because, they did one specific formula change to Dynasty Warriors that I think is amazing. So you know how you have boss battles in Zelda?
Yeah.
They have boss battles like Zelda in this. And I'm like, that's perfect. This is exactly what Dynasty Warriors needed.
Yes, it is. And I want a Wii U for it. I recently said,
You're breaking up. I heard nothing of what you said.
Well, that sucks. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now perfectly.
I started working at a small like retail video game store. Someone came in buying a Wii U, super excited to get Monster Hunter 3. I instantly thought about you.
Oh my god. I've been playing so much Monster Hunter 3 use this week. Like, a lot of it. I probably played like 40 hours of it this week.
Yeah.
And I work a full-time job. Listen, man. The Wii U is the console to have. I know that no one thinks that, but it's the console.
If you like Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter, Bayonetta, and
Hyrule Warriors.
Hyrule Warriors.
Mario Kart 8.
Mario Kart 8's pretty good.
The new Zelda U coming out in the future. Smash Bros.
I have to get the DLC for Mario Kart. It's pretty legit. It's like four new characters and two whole cups based on Zelda and Animal Crossing maps.
Yeah, isn't it like Link and then like, what are the other characters?
Yoshi? Yes, there's going to be a Yoshi one. And the Yoshi has a 8-color palette so that every single person can play as Yoshi.
Yes, I saw that. That's amazing.
But it's going to have Link. It's going to have... I think that's... Yeah. It's going to have Link. It's going to have the Animal Crossing kid. It has... I think it's got that cat dog person from Animal Crossing, the girl.
Okay.
I don't know her name because I didn't play Animal Crossing. But, I'm excited. I think that the DLC it's pretty reasonably priced too. It's $12 for two whole cups and a bunch of characters. So yeah. That's like 8 maps, by the way. So, or like 8 tracks. So it's actually like, that's pretty good for $12. And that's kind of what I wanted out of Mario Kart, is that they wanted that they like start incorporating not Mario in it.
Yeah.
Because
we need some Nintendo Kart.
Yeah, really. Because, like, Nintendo Land was great and has almost nothing to do with Mario. There's only, like, one Mario minigame in it. and yeah. it's not as good as the Animal Crossing version of that same goddamn minigame. But like Nintendo Land's really great, and I mean Smash Bros is pretty cool. Mario Kart though, like I just don't really care about Mario, and they're obviously when they include every single Koopa Kid, they're starting to hurt on ideas. Like, if we're being fair, there's a lot of characters that probably should have been in there instead of like Gold, Peach, Print, Pink, Gold, Peach. Is that it, or is Pink, Gold, Peach?
Pink, Gold, Peach.
And the fucking Koopa Kids. There should have been like Boo, the Hammer Bros, like so many other characters that aren't like characters but just enemies.
Yeah.
That are probably cooler than the Koopa Kids and Pink Gold Peach.
Have they fixed the battle system yet? You know, no. The only battling on tracks?
I don't know. I don't really like the battle system in Mario Kart anyways, so I never bother.
I still can't believe they didn't make any battle arenas.
Yeah, the fact that there's no battle arenas is goddamn dumb, because why put the mode in if you're just doing it on regular tracks? But I don't really care. Like, too much.
Yeah.
It probably would have been better if they just didn't put the mode in at all until there were some goddamn battle arenas, but...
Yeah.
But, no, I played some of the new Mario Kart this week, too. That's something I did.
Yeah.
Now that I live with people.
You live with people?
Yeah, well, I moved.
That must be scary.
Well, I live with different people now. I live with my girlfriend and her brother. And we have video games. But
I'm glad.
Yeah. It's pretty legit. I guess I'll talk a bit about what I've been doing last month.
Awesome.
So I went to Disneyland. That was really rad. I haven't been to Disneyland. Well, I haven't been to Disneyland in like 6 years. I've been to Disneyland many, many times, but I haven't been like recently because my dad lives in Mexico. He lives about a 3-hour drive away from Disneyland. So it's like, if we'd just be bored on the weekend, we'd be like, want to go to Disneyland? Sure, let's go to Disneyland. So then we just go to Disneyland because he had a season pass. So it was like you basically just had to pay for food in a hotel, but not like the outrageous $300 ticket for Disneyland. But, no, me and my girlfriend went to Disneyland. That shit was super fun. We went on, like, every single ride. Because we just go to, like, California Adventureland in the morning, which is, like, the part that has the roller coasters and stuff. It's, like, the new park that they built next to Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
And we would go to that in the morning, because everyone would be at Disneyland. And you would just, like, get to go on the California Screamer, which is, like, the big roller coaster that they have there, like, three times in a row. And you could go on it, like, 3 times in half an hour.
Nice.
And then, like, go on the River Rapids at, like, 11 o'clock, right when it starts to get really hot. And then that would take you, like, 10 minutes to get on. And you'd go on that, and then you'd get off. And then it would be really hot out. And then all of a sudden, the park would just get packed. And then we'd leave and go to Disneyland. Because the park would be, like, way too busy. But just because then, like, what were 20-minute waits for stuff became, like, 2-hour waits. And we're like, no. So then we would just went over to Disneyland, where the waits were just as long. But... the thing is that when you get to Disneyland at 9 in the morning, the waits are already 2 hours long, but you go to California Adventureland at 9 in the morning and you just walk on rides.
I went to Universal Studios like a while ago. Favorite part about that park, you get one of those handicap wheelchairs. You can just drive in. You don't even have to stay in line. You just drive up to the exit.
Oh, you can do the same thing at Disneyland. But
we tried it at Disneyland. They're like, no, we have handicap ramps. You can stay in line.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lame. At Universal Studios, though, this is my favorite thing. If you pay $400 a ticket, you get what they call like a fast pass. This is why we didn't go to Universal Studios, because we didn't have the money to do it. It's not worth going to Universal Studios if you don't have the money for the fast pass. Because if you have the fast pass, you literally just walk up to the front of the line and get on the ride. And like,
that's there's what only... it is with, instead of paying the $400 for the fast pass, you pay like the $40 for one of those handicap carts, and then you just drive up to the exit and they go, okay, get on, and then you get on with whatever cart's next. It's all you have to do.
Yeah, well, you I don't feel think like that an I can asshole, get away with
as long as you have someone who's actually handicapped with you.
Yeah. But at like Disneyland, you can get like a fast pass, but you like go up and you get a little pass for like that ride, and then you have to come back 2 hours later and then stand in a half an hour line instead of a 2 hour line. At Universal Studios, though, the lines are way worse than they are at Disneyland because there's only like six rides.
Yeah.
So you like if you don't have the fast pass, you're standing in lines for like 2 hours to go on one ride, and then you're like, okay, let's go on the other ride, and then you stand in another line for like 2 hours, and then you get on, and then you're like, okay, well, let's go on the other ride that we just went on again, and like takes another 2 hours. But if you have the fast pass, like you pay the extra money, then you can just go on all six rides like over and over and over and go on all of them like five times a piece in the day, and so it's just totally worth it.
I ended up going on the Dueling Dragons, both sides of it, in like 20 minutes. And it said the line for both lines was going to be 2 hours each.
Yeah, that's why we didn't go, because we like just didn't have the money after Disneyland and stuff.
Yeah.
Disneyland is such a good park.
Disneyland's probably my least favorite park I've ever been to.
Really?
Yep.
We went to Disneyland this time around, and it was better than it was the last time that I went. They've really overhauled a lot of the stuff, so they've changed out all the food services basically, and so now like the food there is way better. Like every single meal that you get there, you can get with a side of fruit instead of fries, for example, which was really, really nice because we had driven like 2 days to get to Disneyland because we drove from where I live to Disneyland.
Yeah.
And so we just ate fast food the whole way there. And then, like, we went to sit down, and I was like, ugh, we're going to have to eat crappy, like, park food. And then we ate at, like, this cafe, which was, like, a restaurant in Disneyland on Main Street. And, like, I got to have just, like, a turkey sandwich that was actually, like, pretty good. It just had, like, actual slices of turkey in it and all that jazz. And then also, I got, like, a side of fruit instead of fries, which was the biggest, like... It was so pleasantly surprising that I didn't have to get goddamn fries.
The only park I kind of liked there was Epcot. Epcot was probably the best park there.
Oh, you went... Oh, you're talking about, like, Disney World.
Like, Florida, yeah.
Yeah, Disneyland's California.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I went to World, which was, like, Epcot, United Kingdoms, and whatever the other one that isn't Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, see, and Disneyland is Disneyland, and then California Adventureland, which is, like, directly across from it. But the food at Disneyland is really good. Disneyland's where they have Pirates of the Caribbean, and they have a restaurant in there called the Blue Bayou, and we ate there on the second night. And the Blue Bayou restaurant, you can sit on the water in the Blue Bayou, and at the very beginning of the Pirates of the Caribbean, like, the boats go by and look into the restaurant, like, where everyone's sitting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's indoors, but it's, like, themed as if it's, the like, the bayou in, like, Louisiana, like, in Orleans. And it was pretty awesome. And, like, it's inside, but they have, like, a huge dome that projects out, like, the stars. Our waiter was, like, making a joke to some little... like to some girl who was like scared because it was day like light out when they went in, and then they came inside this restaurant, and then like it seems like it's outside but it's night, and she was like scared. The waiter's like, don't be scared, it's not that bad in here, it's nice, see, look right up there, there's a shooting star. And like the shooting star goes by, he's like, yeah, strangely it goes by like every 20 seconds. I was like, I don't know, the staff at Disneyland, they, like, work the same stuff all the time, and so, like, they figure out jokes. Everyone who was there was, like, really, really nice, and, like, the service was so good. And the food was really appropriately priced. Like, for my turkey sandwich and fruit, it was, like, $9. And if you've ever been to, like, Universal Studios or something, you know that when you get a cheeseburger and fries, it's, like, $20, and you're like, what the shit?
Yeah. I find it funny, just, like, the little things at Disneyland that you can do, like the, Like, if there's any Toy Story characters, you'd be like, Andy's coming, and then they all have to drop to the floor. There's just a lot of tiny things at Disneyland that they can, that they do that's just, it's cute.
Yeah. So besides that, I've been not really playing a lot of games, but I've been making a video game I'm going to talk about on the podcast.
You're going to, I don't, is that a good idea?
Yeah.
You're going to spoil your secrets?
Yeah, I'm going to spoil my secrets.
What if someone steals your idea?
Well, this is going to be released in the next 30 days, so.
Okay.
So, I've been making a game called Major Space Laser for phones.
Major Space Laser.
Major Space Sounds Laser.
Good. Sounds good.
So, I got the idea because, like, about shmups, like shoot 'em ups.
Yeah.
Because someone was, like, tweeting about them a lot, Slow Beef was, and then I was like, I wonder if I could make a shmup for a phone. But I didn't actually want to make a shmup, but I took the idea of having lots of things shooting at you. And so you like touch the phone and you're like a little space dude and it shoots like a giant laser. And you have like a space monster that's chasing you, shooting balls of acid at you, and you shoot the balls of acid with the laser and then they disintegrate. And the laser also pushes you away from the monster, so you have to shoot the laser to push yourself away from the monster as well. And you're like going through a tunnel. So you play this like in portrait mode and you're going upwards. And yeah. You're like going through a tunnel, so it's kind of like helicopter as well, so you have to like angle the laser so that you don't run into the walls, and you have to shoot the giant balls of acid or dodge them so that you don't die.
Now, is there going to be like unlockable things and coins you can pick up and stuff?
No. I played with the idea of coins that you pick up and stuff, but I didn't like it.
Okay.
I feel like that complicates the game.
Is there going to be high scores and online leaderboards?
Yes, because that's actually really, really easy to do. Unbelievably easy to do. So really? I just used Google Play Game Services, and you can just download a Unity plugin that Google released. To do online leaderboards should take you about 5 minutes of programming. Wow. Yeah, you just like plug in a little... You basically create them in like a developer console in your web browser, and then they give you like a key for them, like a string, and then when you're like open up the leaderboards, when you click a button, you just pass that string into a function and it will open up that leaderboard. And then when you submit scores at the end, you're like, submit a score to this leaderboard, and then it adds scores to it.
So that's cool.
Yeah, to add like online leaderboards to a Unity game for phones is like 8 lines of code.
That's surprisingly awesome.
Yeah, it's less lines of code than, let's say, adding a coin to the game. For some reason, that's many lines of code. But adding
currency to a game probably is many lines of code.
Oh god, adding in-game currency to a game is a huge pain in the ass. That's why I'm not selling this game like for actual money. I'm just making it ad-driven, because yeah. If you sell it, then you have to deal with the licensing system to like license the purchase.
Yeah.
And at that point, you might as well do in-game purchasing as well, because you're halfway there. But it's like, it's not trivial. It's super hard. It's not fun. And then, of course, you would have to do all of that stuff for iOS as well. And that's a huge pain in the ass. So that's why I decided to just not do that and just do the online leaderboards and ads, because all I have to port is the ads and the leaderboards.
Oh, that's good.
But Major Space Laser will be hitting in like the next month probably.
I can't wait to play it. I'm gonna review it.
Yeah, you're gonna review Major Space Laser.
Yep.
It's a really simple phone game, but all right.
I'm gonna review the shit out of Major Space Laser.
I have an actual artist for that game too, so the art's pretty legit.
Pretty legit.
Yeah.
Is it too legit to quit?
Yes. I'm excited to release that game. I'm also making another game at work called Grappling Gary. It's pretty good, but I don't think it's as good as Major Space Laser. I've got a whole
Obviously not.
I've got a whole like plan. If Major Space Laser is popular, then I am making a second game called Major Space Laser Tilt and Roll. Did you ever play Kirby Tilt and Tumble?
No.
Okay, it was a Game Boy Color game, and it had a big-ass cartridge with an accelerometer in the cartridge, and you would, like, tilt it like this to roll forwards, and then, like, tilt it back to slow down and, like, side to side. And when you were tilting forwards, and when, like, that, like, flicked it up, then he would, like, jump. I'm just going to rip off that game.
Sounds genius. Can't believe you thought of that idea all by yourself.
Yup. Thought of that idea. All by myself. No, it's because I want to make an accelerometer game because that shit would be fun. I would play that while on the toilet or something.
While I'm pooping, I'm going to excel all over the place.
Yes. But, no, I don't know. I've been using Unity for work, right? And so now I'm, like, pretty proficient in it, I guess. And so I've been using it for, like, at home a lot now too, since I'm much better in it than I used to be, and I really understand the workflow in a way that I didn't used to understand it, and so it's like nothing for me to sit down and just start making a game. Like making a game, I can usually have something kind of playable within an hour, so it's like, yeah, I've got a lot of ideas for games that I've always wanted to make, and now that I have the time and the knowledge, I'm gonna make them.
Awesome.
But I can't spoil all the ideas for the games because someone else might make one of those games, because they're the games that aren't phone games are like a little more complicated and would take me way more time, so they're really money dependent as a result. Whereas like if I'm totally fucking broke, I cannot make these games. But I don't know, maybe Major Space Laser becomes the next Flappy Bird and I make $1 million. Then I will make these games. I'll quit my job.
I hope you'll still podcast with me.
Oh, I'll still podcast with you.
I'm glad.
I'll pay into your Patreon.
I don't even have that anymore.
Really?
Nope.
No.
It was too much work for the what I was getting from it.
Yeah, I kind of expected that would be the result of that. I don't.
Yeah.
Patreon only basically really works depending on like if your type of content is like kind of infrequent or like really work heavy. If you're not doing it as like a full-time job, then it's pretty hard to like justify it, I guess.
I'm not at the size or at the point where Patreon works for me. If I were to ever get bigger, I'd definitely bring it back up, but at the moment, yeah.
No, because I mean like the way that I've seen Patreon like used and the way that it seems to work for other people is that when you're bigger, it allows you to make content that you really like to make that does not make as much money on YouTube as the other types of content that maybe you're a little less interested in continuing to make.
Like, I don't know. It works really well for Smooth the Groove.
That, well, also, I guess if you're making content that like doesn't, well, the content that he likes to make doesn't make as much money as other content that's on YouTube.
I don't know. He gets a couple million views and he releases a video a week.
Yeah, but if you're looking at like Let's Plays, there's three videos a day.
Let's Players should not have a Patreon.
No, definitely not.
If they're big.
But if you look at like Jesse Cox, he's a Let's Player, and he's using a Patreon to not do Let's Plays, but in fact to do Cox and Crendor in the Morning, which is like a podcast that he used to do with Crendor, and like that podcast was hilarious. I loved listening to it, but he stopped it because like it doesn't really make any money, and there wasn't like a way to monetize it well, and it wasn't really great YouTube content, and so he made a Patreon in order to fund the podcast, because like if he makes that podcast, then he's not doing making that podcast takes away doing an entire Let's Play series, and so like you have to come back up with that money somehow, because like you're not making that much money unless you're like PewDiePie or Game Grumps.
Exactly.
So, like, that's how I've also seen Patreon used. I mean, Patreon is basically used so that YouTubers who have to do things full-time to get them done can actually make the money in order to, like, get away with it. Like, to survive. Yeah. Speaking of that, the tip jar went live.
Yes, it did. Only for specific people in specific regions. I tried applying for it, but it's United States only.
Yeah, I assumed United it would States. Be U.S. only.
It's U.S. and I think one or two other places, but not Canada. So I applied, but I wasn't able to get it, and it was only for larger people.
Yeah, well, it always takes a while for the Google services that are paid to get to Canada. Like Google Wallet is still only like in beta here. Because it's mostly consumer laws.
Once TipJar does come to Canada, though, I'll definitely have one. I am excited for it. I like the idea of it.
Oh, it's a good idea. I mean, it's very much like Patreon, but. All right, let's jump into some news. So, Pokken Tournament, a fighting game adaptation of the Pokemon universe, was announced in Japan. That would have been announced probably... God, that would have been the end of August, so that was probably Tokyo Game Show?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's been a long time, and I didn't have internet until, like, the 3rd of September. So, it's a lot of me going, like, what was happening on the internet at this time?
The funniest thing that has come from that was a picture online that shows like a bunch of different martial arts for like the Tekken characters do and Pokemon characters that match it. And then the last one was Big Ominous Bear, and it just shows the bear from Pokemon and the bear from Tekken. I'm like, yes.
So I think this is actually a pretty good idea. I think these are the kind of games that, like, the Wii U sort of needs, if that makes any sense. Like, we're finally on a platform where you can actually target hardcore gamers, and, I mean...
Is it coming to Wii U? Because what I originally heard was only arcade machines in Japan or something.
Really? It's only arcade machines?
I heard something about when it was first announced, it said
coming to arcade... Oh, it is an arcade fighting game.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should release this for Wii U. So one of the things that like is sort of frustrating about, well, it's one of the things that they've talked about doing, and the like, is that Nintendo is going to let third parties that don't normally use Nintendo IP to use Nintendo IP, and like this is one of those cases where like you're taking a Tekken game and attaching a Nintendo IP to it. And so even though Tekken didn't particularly do well on the Wii U, like, Pokken would do really well on the Wii U.
It's Pokemon. Anything Pokemon sells. Why is there not a anything Pokemon snap sells? For Wii U yet?
And not only does anything Pokemon sell, anything Pokemon on a console sells probably even better, because there's so few Pokemon console experiences. They're all handheld. And so if you did a Pokemon like console game, even if it's not like the Pokemon game, that shit does really well.
Now, if Pokemon were to make a Pokemon Snap Wii U bundle where the gamepad looked like a camera,
you know what? If they did a Pokemon Snap game, I probably wouldn't. I would not pay $60 for it.
I don't think I would either.
No, I would buy that for $20, like, as a downloadable title.
I'd pay, like, $30 for it at most.
Yeah, and so I don't think it would probably ever make it to a bundle, because it's probably never going to be a disc game.
It's still an amazing idea, and it needs to happen.
Also, it does need to happen.
Dungeons & Dragons game needs to happen, too.
What would you do with a
Dungeon Master holds the pad.
Yeah, I guess.
It's perfect. Dungeon Master holds the pad. Everyone else has controllers.
There's, like, that's probably the one thing that is sort of disappointing about the Wii U, is that they don't use the pad enough. But, I mean, we talked about it at E3. They said that they were going to use the pad more. And, like, all the games that they're making are specific, like, for this next year are all using the pad. And if it doesn't, like, because they need to use the pad
more. Hopefully they use the pad for more than just a map and a freaking horn.
Oh, yeah. Beep, beep. It's real bad in Mario Kart. It's awful. There's some simple things that they didn't do that really pissed me off about that. I mean, we've talked about it before, like the last time Shane was on, last time Rerez was on. Like, in Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed, when you play in, like, two-player or three-player or four-player or five-player, because it goes to five-player, when you play like that, the person with the gamepad is their screen. And I way prefer that over doing split screen. And in Mario Kart, they just give you the horizontal split. So Mario Kart as a two-player experience is worse than Mario Kart as a three-player experience. And holy fuck. Like, it's so bad. I hate it. I can't handle it. Three-player is fine. I can do three or four, but I can't do two. This is all local, like, local multiplayer, obviously, by the way, not online. But, yeah, that's, like, one of the biggest disappointments, really. All right. So, Pokken also has a dumb name.
I don't think so.
They should call it Pokemon Tournament Fighters. Or Poke. I guess they can't call it Pokemon Tournament.
Ryan has a dumb name.
Maybe they Ryan is a dumb name.
Maybe they should call him Ryan Tournament Fighter. Utter silence.
No, sorry. I'm reading about the Mario Kart DLC because I was going to bring that up. I'm excited. They have like a... Oh, man. It adds Shy Guy.
They add Shy Guy?
Oh, no. Why I think Shy Guy's already in it. I was going to say... They color palette him.
Oh, okay.
So that there's eight of them.
Yeah.
And it looks like they do the same thing to Bowser because I'm looking at two Bowsers right now. There's like there no regular Bowser and like a skeleton Bowser.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Dry Bones Bowser. He was in Wii U. He was awesome. He? Yeah.
Or you mean he was in Wii?
Yeah, he was in Wii.
Yeah, they got Dry Bones Bowser.
Awesome.
Yeah, new colors for Yoshi and Shy Guy.
Awesome. And, the DLC sounds sweet.
Wario's Gold Mine from Mario Kart Wii is one of the tracks.
That was a good track.
And then you got Zelda and Animal Crossing crossovers.
Nice.
As well as the Blue Falcon cart from F-Zero.
They need an F-Zero game. I recently played that for the first time on N64. That game is awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's fantastic.
How's the one for GameCube?
I haven't played the GameCube one.
Okay. Well, the one for N64 was really cool. I played it for the first time with three friends, and it was fun. They need to make that for Wii U. It looked awesome. Everything on Wii U looks awesome, though. Ryan is deep in trance, reading.
Reading about Pokken Tournament. It's not going to play like Tekken, apparently. Like, it's not going to have a high, medium, low guard. Like, it's going to be all new mechanics.
I expect so when you have enemies with four arms. I want Gyarados to be a fighter. Gyarados needs to be a fighter. Or Magikarp.
Magikarp. So one of the Tekken characters that were supposed to be in Tekken as like a joke character, but was always intended to be a character, was a fish. And his only thing that he can do is flop around on the ground. No matter what button you press, he just flops.
Perfect reason to put Magikarp in.
Yeah. He was supposed to be a Tekken character, and then, he was always messed around with as like a joke character that could be in Tekken from like one of the designers. And then they did like a online poll to choose who's going to be like in this free to play version of Tekken. And they sadly didn't pick him.
Aw.
I was really disappointed.
Ditto also should be a character for like miming other characters.
What do they do? Just use their one move and then turn into the other character and then do all the same things?
No, it'd be just like any mimic in any fighting game. It randomly picks one character at the start of the game and then you play as him. But it in like a Ditto look.
All right.
It's kind of like the mimic in any game that you play. And you need a giant ominous bear. Bears are always winners.
Oh, definitely. I could go with this. So, in other Nintendo-y news, they announced a new system.
Oh, the new 3DS.
The new 3DS.
the new 3DS XL Lite 2.
Yeah, the new 3DS LL.
Is it? Okay, I'm confused because I thought I heard it was Japan exclusive.
I don't think it is. I think okay. It might be for...
I heard it's Japan exclusive. I'd be a little bit disappointed because it sounds amazing.
See, it's supposed to launch in Japan on October 11th, but I don't think... But it doesn't launch in North America this year. There's no release date on it. But I'd be surprised if it didn't come out here because of the hardware upgrade and the fact that it... Yeah. Like, so, it's not unusual for Nintendo to, like, make new hardware steps and, like, do a half step on a handheld. But this gen is strange because they've done a half step on a handheld and then said that we're going to make games that don't work on the other handhelds.
Yeah.
They don't normally... When they change out the hardware, they, like, change the screen or change the buttons or add more memory. But they don't, like, change the CPU like they did this time.
Yeah.
Like, and so now it's, like, a more powerful 3DS. Too. Yeah. And
my favorite part about it, no matter what direction you look at it, the screen is always 3D, and you don't get that shitty look if you're looking at it from the side.
Really?
Yeah. That's cool. No matter where you... It said, no matter where you look at it, what direction you look at it, it doesn't... It's always 3D. There's no horrible effect depending on where you're looking at it. So that's going to be great.
They also...
Two analog sticks is also sweet.
Yeah. Also, new shoulder buttons. Like, a second set of them.
Yes. Now it's like the Xbox controller or the PlayStation controller.
Or the Wii U pad. So they can actually give you some, like, real console-like experiences on it now because you have as many buttons and all the same controls.
This new 3DS is definitely throwing the Vita off the market.
Yeah, I want one. I don't know what the price is going to be like. I'm glad that I didn't buy a 3DS now because I was, like, really close to doing that.
I have a 3DS, but I'm still glad that I bought it.
I know. Well, if you bought a 3DS the week before they announced this, you'd be pretty pissed.
Yes. Yes, I would.
See, you've had your 3DS for, like, a year now, haven't you? Yeah. And I was about to buy one, like... like 2 weeks before they announced this.
Speaking of 3DS, I recently bought Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright. I haven't played much of it, but I'm excited. It looks awesome. I'm enjoying it.
I've heard good things about that game.
I've heard good and bad. I've heard it's a good game. It's not amazing or anything.
Well, I mean, if you like Phoenix Wright and you like Professor Layton, I'd be surprised if you didn't like it.
I like Phoenix Wright. I've never played any Professor Layton games, so it's cool playing his portions because it's the first time I've ever played anything like that. I need to play some Professor Layton games, though.
They're really great. This.
I've heard that they're really great. Everyone tells me this, and then they say, you haven't played them? You should go die and then play them while you're dead.
I'm sure they don't say that. They probably say you should just play them.
You'd be surprised. I have some great friends.
They wish death upon you a lot.
Yes, especially because I haven't played any Persona games.
Persona's all right. That's not true. I really like Persona, but it's a little bit overhyped. I would say that Persona 4 is really good. Persona 3 is really hard to go to if you've already played Persona 4 because Persona 4 is fucking so much better. But they're not as... The Xeno series... like, does a lot for JRPGs that people say Persona does for them, but doesn't really do it anywhere near as well as, like, the Xenoblade did.
Yeah.
Like, Xenoblade makes me want to play JRPGs again, and Persona's just like, this is a good JRPG. It doesn't completely, like, Xenoblade completely reinvigorated me on that genre, whereas Persona just made me, like, glad that I played Persona, but it didn't want to make me, like, play anything else.
Like, are you excited for Xenoblade X?
Yeah. It's one of the games that I bought my system for. Like, I want it so bad.
There is a thing of news that I forgot that we haven't gotten to yet.
Alrighty then.
Smash Bros. Demos. Smash Bros. Demo is out.
Is that out already?
Yes, people have been streaming it and playing it. I haven't looked too much into it, but they've been giving codes out to people for early access to the Smash Bros. Demo for 3DS. So people have been checking out the full roster and all that, and from what I've heard, it is amazing. Controls are a little weird to get used to on the 3DS, but from what I've heard, it is amazing. I have not heard one bad thing about it.
I don't know if that is because people are just really into Smash and like Nintendo, or if it's because it's actually good.
Yeah, well, you know Rated S for Sandwich. He is very picky when it comes to games, and he is very pinpoint on anything bad for it. He has nothing but praises for the new Smash games. I have not heard him say he is. His Twitter is just full with love for that game at the moment.
We'll see.
Yeah, we definitely
I'm
will
gonna
see,
just
but
wait until like it comes out. I'm sure
yeah.
that the game's not bad, but also like the demo is just a slice of it, obviously. So I mean, if it's okay like with a couple characters, it's
If it's
probably okay with all of them, but I mean, if there's any characters that make it like too much of a clusterfuck, the game might be.
From what I heard, the demo has the full roster.
Oh, does it?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, you have to unlock them through the demo actually though. And I'm thinking that if it's really good on the 3DS, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like on Wii.
So one of the things actually is mentioned about the Wii U version, it's rumored to be coming out the 21st of November, which is sooner than they said. So it's
Yes.
supposed to be Q1 2015, but there's a like major retailer in the Pacific Northwest, but in the US, called Fred Meyer. And they're like handing out flyers with their pre-orders saying that it comes out on Friday, November 21st, which is Black Friday.
Well,
And if they're launching it this year, that time makes sense because you want to do it before Black Friday so people buy a shitload of Wii U's on Black Friday, and also before Christmas so people buy a shitload of Wii U's before Christmas.
it is a great idea, marketing wise. Nintendo might actually be doing something right.
But
They've actually been doing a lot right.
it
We've
still
been
seems,
dissing on them a bit too much.
but it's earlier than they said it was going to be, and so I'm not like it's still a rumor, but I mean
Yeah.
there's a goddamn flyer that says that's the date that a retailer released. So like it's kind of
They.
not terrible.
They've, I don't know, the retailer could have probably just made that flyer and made a mistake. So who knows?
Sorry, I'm reading another thing.
So much reading.
Yeah, I'm reading about the iPhone 6 Plus.
Reading's not fun.
The new iPhones are gonna be a pain in the ass. They do something weird. They're
I
too
do not
big.
care.
Well, as a game develop, as a person who develops for phones, I care
Yeah.
because they're too big to develop experiences for now that also work on the old phones
Yeah.
or any of the Android phones. So like my phone's four like a four like a 4 3/4 inch screen or something,
Yeah.
but which is like just bigger than the iPhone 5S. The iPhone 6 Plus is 5.5 inches. It's too much fragmentation. It's fucking bullshit. Everyone should keep their goddamn screen sizes the same. You have tablets at 7 and 10 inches, and you have phones at 4.5. Like human beings.
Like human beings.
Yes.
You're comparing a phone to a living entity.
It's just a huge problem for me. Like, it's just for me.
Just
There's a
for
lot of
you.
really dumb problems that just exist for me related from work, like Minecraft. Microsoft might be buying Minecraft, and so there's a huge like shitstorm in the Minecraft community, and it's making my job really hard. Because one of my jobs, like, we used to run like really popular Minecraft servers. That's what my job was. Like, write plugins for popular ass fucking Minecraft servers. And but now like Bucket is down. Bucket is like this library they use to write plugins with. But
yeah,
now it's down because Mojang, like, it came out that Mojang owned Bucket after like this big EULA fiasco. The EULA fiasco turned out to be nothing, but then Bucket went down because it turned out that Mojang like owned Bucket, and so someone like DMCA'd them who had written like a third of the code for Bucket, and they're like, you can't use my code anymore. And so now Bucket's down because they can't like distribute it because of that code that was there. And also, after it became obvious that Mojang owned Bucket and that Microsoft is probably buying Mojang, and as a result, Minecraft, everyone else who wrote code for Bucket also filed DMCAs on it. So now, like, Bucket has to just be rewritten. And so now nothing that I've, like, spent the last 6 months of my life working on fucking works. And we had, like, a huge project that we made. I can't talk too much about it, but, like, I showed you the map for it. It was fucking massive. Yes. And we spent, like, months writing the code for that, and then like more time getting like maps built and populating it with more content, because it was a fucking huge task. And now we're probably never gonna get to release it because it's dependent on Bucket.
That sucks.
And if we were to like do it all over, it'd take like 9 months to redo it all. So it's like, no, it's not gonna happen. So dumb. So dumb.
Horrible.
Yep.
I was excited for that too.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Well, this is why we're doing phone games now. Because it's like, god damn it. But also that leads us into this last piece of news. Well, not last piece of news.
I was gonna say, I guess Notch is very happy he's not part of Mojang anymore.
Apparently Notch negotiated the $2 billion deal.
Really? Himself.
Yeah. So So apparently tomorrow it's going to be announced that Microsoft is buying Mojang. And they're pretty much wanting to do it to expand Windows Phone, apparently, which makes sense because the game is like really popular on Android and iOS, but it's not on Windows Phone at all. But yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. Because, like, if they make really major changes on the PC side, then, like, nothing that we ever built for that is ever going to be available again, because the changes that they would probably make is, like, to really reduce your, like, really reduce modding and, like, start moving towards the same model that they have on Xbox, which is selling skins and, like, block packs.
Well, if they do that for PC, too, then I'll be very upset.
Yeah, I mean, it would basically ruin that game.
It'll kill the game.
Yeah, exactly.
If they kill mods, then they kill the game on PC. No one will play it.
Yeah, pretty much, because I mean, you play it for the mods. But yeah.
That's the only reason I play it. I play it for adventure maps, and most adventure maps run on mods now.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, like, the built-in adventure system was never very goddamn good.
No, it wasn't. AdventureCraft was really what made the adventure maps, plus the mods for the adventure stuff.
But yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that, because a lot of, like, the people that we work with, they're big YouTubers. Like, I can't mention names, but big.
Yeah.
Like, top 50.
You can only assume.
You can only assume based on that number. But
Minecraft giant YouTubers. Take a couple guesses, you'll probably get a few.
Yeah, because we make servers for them. But, like, they don't even know if they're going to be able to do Let's Plays anymore for Minecraft, because like Microsoft has a stance that like you're not allowed to do like Halo Let's Plays or Halo content without their permission, and like you're not allowed to monetize it. So that's why like Rooster Teeth can monetize Red versus Blue, but I couldn't just go out and make Halo Machinima and like monetize it. They'd be really pissed because Rooster Teeth signed goddamn contracts. I definitely didn't. And so if they take a similar stance like that on like Minecraft, then a lot of people who do Minecraft Let's Plays probably won't be able to do Minecraft Let's Plays. Big Pro, way less Minecraft Let's Plays.
I don't know if that's a pro or not, because people who make a living off of Minecraft, not making a living off Minecraft anymore.
Oh no, not a pro for them. But for the YouTube community as a whole?
Listen, smart YouTubers will find more ways to make
they'll just stop doing Minecraft videos. Like the ones who are actually popular can get away with just not doing Minecraft videos.
Yeah.
They'll probably lose a huge chunk of their fan base. Yeah. They'll get a lot smaller, but like they can still probably survive on no Minecraft videos.
People like Captain Sparkles and Yogscast can move on to other things and still get views. It's the people, it's like the smaller people who are only in 10,000 that might have a bit more trouble with it.
Yeah, probably. All right. So we missed this when we were talking about Destiny, but so there's an error in Bungie or in Destiny regarding the netcode that makes it kind of unplayable on university campuses, because you can't play it. You get like this centipeding error, which is that a bunch of people are trying to play it on the same hub at the same time, like the same, like on a server hub, because you have a server hub at a university that distributes the internet across the campus.
Yeah.
And the netcode for Destiny was never written around it and never really took that into consideration. Turns out it can't play Destiny on university campuses. So if you live in a dorm, hold off. Don't buy that game yet. Unplayable.
That's funny. Also, if you don't have internet, don't buy it. I know a few people who have.
Like, who bought it without internet?
Yeah. It says it on the box. You need online. And they bought it. And they don't have internet. And then they complained. And then they don't have a right to complain. It says it on the goddamn box.
So there's kind of one last thing that I wanted to talk about, because it's sort of the big thing for the last several weeks. And it's mostly about how the like video game community, I put a community in quotes because I sort of have an issue with the word community when used in like on the internet, mostly because it
on the internet.
Yeah, because they use the word community wrong. They use it just wrong. I don't even think YouTube community is a good I think that's a wrong use of the word community. But basically the like video game community has been really terrible the last few weeks, let's say. I think Gamergate is obviously fucked. Like, this is a pretty messed up situation.
I have no clue what that is. I keep seeing hashtag Gamergate, and I have no clue what it is.
It's basically a bunch of self-righteous video game nerds and people who say that they're video game journalists who actually just, like, have a video game blog complaining about video game journalism and, like, tracking them down and trying to find any flaws that they have or trying to link them towards, like, having bad ethics regarding, like, being friends with a person in the industry and then writing an article about their game or something like that, because that's one of the like big Gamergate scandals, is like this person was friends with that person and wrote an article that mentioned their game by name, like wasn't in the headline or something, but like you can't do that. And
isn't
it's like
that the one that is that what ended up pulling out the whole scandal with Phil Fish?
No, I was not referencing the Zoe Quinn one. She's the person who did Depression Quest. Because basically this person who is like friends with her. The Zoe Quinn one was really messed up. So that this was like the one that when was, you like, didn't have internet.
Sex with a bunch of journalists.
Yeah, but that's probably not true.
Okay.
But the one of like the examples of people that they went after was this guy who mentioned who was like friends with Zoe Quinn or apparently had sex with her. Not that it's really any of our goddamn business, but like had some level of a personal relationship with her. And people were mad because in like a rock paper scissors or a rock paper shotgun article, he mentioned Depression Quest. It wasn't like in the headline or anything. It wasn't even about Depression Quest, but like while it was sort of a, it wasn't directly about Depression Quest. It was about indie development. And like yeah. It mentioned like Zoe Quinn and Depression Quest and like had a link to Depression Quest in it, just like it did like you would if you mentioned a game ever. But like it seems like completely out of control and really dumb, mostly because it's fucking video games, so who gives a shit? Like especially because the people who read video game like news and video game sites aren't the people who buy video games mostly. I know that sounds strange, but like video games is this huge not niche culture. Like video games as an entertainment form are not niche. There's niche parts of them, like, but I mean that's just like movies. Like movies, there's niche like culture within movies. There's subcultures within movies. Like some people like horror movies and like the really cheesy horror movies, and like that's very niche.
Yeah.
I mean, like Newt from Underbelly, he was on the podcast once, like Newt Wallen. He was a guy on Underbelly who had like the big side chops. He had mutton chops, but like he's really into horror movies. He's so into horror movies, he made a horror movie, and like that's very much a niche in movies. But to say that, but like if you ask someone if they like movies, they would say yes. Like, everyone watches goddamn movies. And at this point, everyone plays video games. And so it's not like this underground thing anymore. And so it mostly seems like a bunch of people on the internet are mad because they're not important anymore to an industry. They're kind of important to an industry, but they really don't matter as much as they used to. And yeah. So they seem upset about it when they don't really have a right to be upset about it. I mean, I'm one of those people who is not important anymore. They haven't made video games for me for very many, many, like for many, many, many years. Because I like CRPGs. And when's the last time a good one of those came out besides Divinity? Like before Divinity, there hadn't been a goddamn like computer RPG top down since goddamn Infinity Engine games. They're coming back. I guess it was Dragon Age. Dragon Age was amazing. But then Dragon Age 2 came out and was nothing like Dragon Age. Like, because my market doesn't matter anymore. But
it's like, just like the point-and-click market. I know a ton of people who love the point-and-click adventure games. Yes, they're coming back a little bit, but
they're never going to be the way that they were. Market.
Yeah. No one plays those games anymore. The market now is Call of Duty. Assassin's Creed.
I don't think it's as much Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed as it. I think it's just good games. I think it's good games that are marketed. I think that you can make the market literally any type of game that you wanted if you marketed it enough. Because, I mean, it's proven that marketing works. That's why summer blockbusters spend 5 times as much on marketing as anything else on their budget. Because it's proven to work. But, so, I mean, you could take an RPG. I mean, look at Mass Effect. Mass Effect is a game with a moderate amount of shooting. I mean, it got more shooting as it like went on, but it did really well for not having a lot of shooting and being story driven. Yeah. Mostly because of marketing. And I mean, Dragon Age is the same thing. Like Dragon Age is a game that does pretty well. It's a role playing game and it has no shooting. Unless you count clicking shoot bow as shooting. Like, you're not aiming the bow, but there's no guns. And that game did really well because it has a huge-ass fucking marketing budget. Like, it has very little to do with the game's, like, being a style and more being marketed. I mean, if people know they exist, they buy them. I mean, it's why people saw Transformers and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even though they're bad.
I heard Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles wasn't actually that bad.
I heard it was not as bad as we expected, but still bad.
I heard it was good, but not great. I heard it wasn't bad at all.
I'll probably watch that movie eventually.
I probably will too. I'm not going to theaters to watch it, though.
No. Oh my god, when I went to the theaters in the US, they're so much cheaper. So yeah. we went to see a movie at we went and saw Bad Cops when I was in the US. Or no, not Bad Cops. We didn't see Bad Cops, sorry. We saw Let's Be Cops. Let's Be Cops was actually pretty goddamn funny. Did you ever see the show New Girl?
No.
It has Zooey Deschanel in it. It was like a Fox show. It has two of the guys from that TV show in that movie that are the lead characters, and so they already had really good synergy with each other because they make that show together. They were fucking hilarious. It was really funny. That's awesome. But we went and saw that movie, and it was so much cheaper than it is back like in Canada. So tickets were $8 a piece because I got a student discount, so it went down from 10 to 8. Even though I'm not a student in that country. Or even a student anymore. I just happened to have my old student card on me. They're like, good enough. And then we went and got a bag of large bag of popcorn, two large drinks, and two bags of candy. Like, not the little tiny bags like this, like bags. Like, yeah. Big ass bags of candy. $20.
That's what it's like over here.
Really? Where I live, that movie night, like, cost me $36, but here it would cost me more like $70.
Actually, I don't know. Like, the movie plus the pop, like a large popcorn plus a large drink plus a large bag of candy for two. Like one person, that'd be maybe like $20, $23.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe like on a Tuesday.
So even on the cheap day. See, it wasn't even a cheap day that we went. Like, we went on like a Thursday night because we were just like there and we didn't have anything to do. But, it was pretty cheap.
Regular movie, or was it 3D? Because that changed.
It was a regular movie. I know that changes the whole thing because here it's $12 for a ticket to go see like a not 3D movie and $17 for a 3D movie.
Holy, it's like $10 for a regular movie here and like $13 to $14 for a 3D one, and then it's like $5 on Tuesday.
That's so much cheaper than it is where I live.
Yeah.
All of our cheap theaters went under. Like, they all had to close down. So we just have, like, the big-ass Cineplex theater.
Yeah, even, like, that's at our, like, Silver City and Cineplex.
Our Silver City is super expensive.
Wow.
Yeah. It sucks.
Like, $17 for 3D is ridiculous. Like,
yeah, that's what it costs.
It's almost as much as I paid for...
It's because they have zero competition. There's not another movie theater besides another Cineplex.
We have Silver City, Cineplex, and then we have, like, a random local theater that, like, just blew up. Like, they built, this place, like, where I lived, it's called Lakeshore, and they built a thing called Lakeshore Cinemas, and it just blew up, and now they've changed their name, and they have, like, two theaters in two different locations now, and they're, like, giant. So compete against Cineplex.
Yeah, well, at least having Cineplex compete against anyone but themselves is good. Yeah. We have two Odeons and a Silver City, and it's, like, just garbage. It's so expensive. Like, if I wanted to go see a movie for cheaper, I have to drive 45 minutes.
Yeah. But basically, this random person was like, I'm going to build a movie theater in the middle of a rural area so they don't have to drive 40 minutes to get to a movie theater. And he made a shit ton of money. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, that's nice to hear. But yeah, it's super expensive to go see a movie, but we went,
yeah,
we saw a movie for like, basically it was like $30 for two of us to go see a movie and eat a ton of junk food. And also they had one of those soda machines that has 110 flavors of pop in it, and it has like a touch screen, so when you hit Coke on the machine, it brings up 10 types of Coke. There's Diet Coke, Coke Zero, regular Coke, Cherry Coke, Lime Coke, Vanilla Coke, Blood Orange Coke, Raspberry Coke, Blueberry Blood Coke.
Orange Coke?
Blueberry they Coke. Have, like, and then the like
flavors of Mountain Dew too.
Yeah. They do. And like and
do they
like,
have the vanilla milkshake Dr. Pepper?
Yes. It has every flavor of soda in it. And I was like, what is this magical machine? Like, the types of Coke that they had in there besides cherry, vanilla, and like, diet, and zero, and regular Coke. So, like, half the flavors you can't buy in a store. You can only get it out of this type of machine.
There was only, so there was Coke products and Pepsi products in it?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, no, I don't think there were, I think there were only a couple of Pepsi products, like Dr. Pepper is in there.
Mountain Dew.
And Mountain Dew. But like no Pepsi, I think Coke would not allow, because like the machine itself was branded as a Coke machine, so I don't think they would allow, like they, Coke doesn't have a competitor to Dr. Pepper, like they don't have something that directly competes with that, so I don't think that, so like they'll allow it in the machine, I guess, but like they would never allow Pepsi to be in the same machine as a Coke machine. They'd flip their shit.
I love me some Dr. Pepper, and I love me some Mountain Dew. Everything else can go screw itself.
I drank so much cherry Coke. I drank so much cherry Coke when I was in the U.S. because they don't have it in Canada.
Same with vanilla.
And
except
vanilla.
For like in Hamilton when I went to Con Bravo, vanilla Coke everywhere.
I had some vanilla Coke when I was in the U.S., but I don't like it as much as I like cherry. I really like cherry Coke for some fucking reason.
What's not to love?
But I guess we were talking about Zoe Quinn. So I've said it before, I really hate the word community when it's used on the internet. I'm gonna tell you exactly why. So like they use the term video game community to describe like video gamers, and it doesn't make any sense, because like the word community, it implies some kind of interaction between us. Like, a community, they don't necessarily like each other, because, I mean, like, a community lives together and, like, has some kind of relationship. Like, you have your working community, where, like, at work, you have a bunch of people that you work with, and you're in the same place, and you do things with them, but you directly interact with them. Most video gamers don't interact with other ones, so to call them a community is fucking garbage. Because like
I don't really know about that. Because
would you call the Destiny players a community, even though they haven't played, like even though they don't talk to each other? Because like that's how people use the video game, like the term video game community is like they're the video game community, even though they haven't talked to each other or even necessarily played the same games. Because this dude in Toronto plays Halo, and this dude in California plays like Madden. Like
Where I used to live, it's called the community of Lakeshore. There's like 20,000 people that live there. I haven't talked to over half of them.
Yeah, it's well, I wouldn't call
community of people.
Well, it used to probably be smaller, but like the community of Lakeshore, I guess they probably do a lot of things together, like provide services for things. I don't know. Like, the term video game community is really garbage because, like, we don't live together or interact in any way. And so, like, the idea of calling it the video game community is dumb because it also consists of a bunch of different communities. Like, when you say video game community, that would kind of involve, like, anyone involved in video games. And so that means, like, dudes who bought Madden who would never play, I don't know, Persona. And, like, people who bought Persona, and also, like, game developers, people who fund games, people who work in, like, game art, people who write about games. Like, it's just kind of a garbage term. In the same way that you would say, like, the YouTube community. Because the YouTube community doesn't make any goddamn sense because it's people who just are on YouTube. But, like, a person who comments on PewDiePie, I'm somehow in the YouTube community, and he's in the YouTube community. But we have nothing in common or even interact. The only thing that we have in common is that we use the website YouTube. So why call it the YouTube community when basically every person on the internet at this point is part of it? Like, it's a garbage term for something that incorporates a couple of billion people. kind of like video game community.
I see where you're coming from, definitely.
At least Lakeshore capped itself off at 22,000, not 2 billion. Like, it's a garbage term. And, like, the thing is that, like, Lakeshore community, at least these are people who live in the same area and use the same services.
Like, but when you use, like, the same saying, like, the community of Canada or the community of United States.
Yeah, because definitely. Like, the United States isn't a community, it's a country. And I don't know.
No one's going to say the country of video gamer. There needs to be a specific word used for when talking about anyone playing a video game. Unless they're talking about a specific thing, then they say, "Oh, the community of FPS players," or the community of whatever the fuck they're talking about.
I don't know. Also, I don't know. There's other terms. Like, gamer is a dumb term because, well, gamer is a strange term because gamer used to be offensive. Gamer used to be, like, the way that the high school jock, like, picked on you. Like, look at that dumb gamer. But, like, and then marketing people, like, took it on as a buzzword. Like, gamers. We need the gamers. And people who kind of, I don't know, I guess I fall in the category of gamer, but I would never describe myself as a gamer because it's kind of garbage to describe yourself based on, like, one of your hobbies. Like, I'm a gamer, but I wouldn't be like, hey, I'm a gamer. How are you? Like, I'm more than, as a person, I am more than, like, one of my hobbies, you know? Like,
yeah, but
it's probably not even my most important hobby. Like, most people who are into video games probably are also into something more than just playing video games.
I think it's just become a slang instead of going up to someone and go, hey, do you play video games? They go, are you a gamer? And then you go, oh, yeah, I play video games. It's just kind of become a slang. It's like, instead of going, hey, do you play piano? You go, hey, are you a pianist?
Yeah, but the people who use that term, like, gamer, are way too
not gamer. They're into the term. Well,
yeah, while it's marketing, or like the people who use it in a more serious manner, like I'm a gamer, are way too into it, which is part of the Gamergate thing. Like, it's a bunch of people who think the games are way too goddamn serious at this point because they're really not that important. Like, unless you're, I don't know, what would you like if you were to describe yourself? I bet that you wouldn't put, like, gamer at the top of things that describe me. I play video games. Like,
I watch
movies. Nice, I'm a movier.
I'm a movier.
Yeah, like, what a garbage.
I'm a,
like,
moviegoer.
Like, I don't know. People who are movie buffs, like, are really into movies. But, like, they don't describe themselves based on their hobby. Like, people don't do that. I mean, it's part of their personality, but it's kind of still garbage. Like, people just don't naturally describe themselves based on their hobby. Like, if I was to describe myself, I would say, like, I'm a programmer. But that is, like, because I love to program. It's also my job. I guess it's a hobby in a way. But, like,
I guess you could say you're a gamer if, you know, you're part of MLG and you fucking make $100,000 because you won a tournament, then you could be like, yeah, I'm a gamer. It's,
well,
my job.
It would make more, like, it would be a more significant chunk of your hobby or, like, of your life. But,
yeah.
I mean, people just don't describe themselves on their hobbies is basically what I'm saying. So, like, the term gamer is kind of fucking dumb, especially because of, like, where it comes from. Like, it's, that, like, it's originally an offensive term. Like, you wouldn't.
I've never originally seen it as an offensive term. Back then, I think it was more along the lines of nerd or geek.
Well, I think that's because when we were growing up, it was.
I've been called that more than I've been called, oh, look at the gamer.
I think that's because when you and I were growing up, video games were more prominent.
Yeah.
So it didn't. So it didn't make any sense at that point. Also, marketing had already taken the term.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The whole Gamergate thing, and, like, the last few weeks, people seem to have been, like, real shitheads. Like, people have been swatting people on the internet, like, streamers and stuff. You know what swatting is, right?
Yeah.
when you like phone the SWAT team on someone.
Yeah.
And so like people have been SWATting people who are like big Twitch streamers.
SWATting's been happening for a long time though. And it's
I know,
been,
but it's not been like something that you would describe as part of like the culture, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. It should
like
be
it was a subculture of the internet, like mostly 4chan.
SWATting has been happening since Modern Warfare 2 came out. It's been happening since then, and probably even before.
See, I always ran into SWATting as like a thing on 4chan, and never really a thing in video game culture.
Yeah,
but I don't know. Everyone's just been fucking crazy the last few weeks.
It's I don't know. It seems like Gamergate's finally been dying down. I haven't heard much about it recently in the last couple days. It definitely seems to have died down. I don't know if it's just
good because it was basically just a bunch of assholes. Like, it doesn't make any... People don't really understand how the industry works in any way. Like, I'm only mildly involved in it at this point because, I mean, I'm not even out of university yet. I've just had a few jobs within the industry, like programming, and I know people from the industry because of my schooling and because of the work that I've done, and then also kind of this a little. I know people on the opposite... Now I know people on both sides of the industry. Basically, I used to know a bunch of developers, and now I know a bunch of, like... bigger YouTubers or like medium-sized YouTubers who are sort of involved in like what happens on the marketing end, because that's like a big part of gaming is marketing, obviously, because the big part of any like large industry is marketing. And it seems like a bunch of people are mostly mad because they don't really understand how like things flow in the industry. Like, a developer develops a game and he needs to market it. In order to market it, he has to give it to people to talk about it. And if you're like a gaming website, like a gaming news site who does reviews and stuff, in order to get reviews, you have to have some kind of a relationship with a developer through some kind of PR firm or like more directly, because smaller developers generally don't have the money to hire a PR firm. And so like you have to jump through the hoops in order to get the early copies, because the early copies generate revenue for your site, which keeps your job. And like people just seem to be directly like very strongly against this, like this flow. The thing is that it's the same thing that happens in music and movies and books and like name another form of entertainment, TV, like everything. Like, this is how reviews work. Like, a review website has a relationship with people who generate content, and the people who generate content give the content early to the reviewers. Like, that's just how it works. And then a few times a year, all of the people in the media get to go drink at the behest of developers, and developers get to get drunk and say mean things about their bosses. And then then Kotaku puts it on the internet or something. Like, I don't know. It's a dumb system. Well, it's not a dumb system. It's just it's dumb, but it's the only system that's going to work. And so, like, the idea that it's a big ethics breach that, like, people who work in the same goddamn industry talk to each other is dumb. And so, Gamergate, goddamn retarded. Yeah. Also, most of the cases, like, the Zoe Quinn thing was terrible because it really isn't anyone's business who she has sex with. Also, according to her, most of it lies. Also, like, some other terrible things, like, it went really far. Did you know, like, they posted, like, nude pictures of her that they, like, that her boyfriend had, like, posted on the internet out of malice or something, well, her ex or whatever, and, like, basically bombarded her. Like, she had to move because of her death threats and shit. And that's, like, the second time that that's happened to her. Because when Depression Quest came out, like, the same shit happened. I don't know. It's fucked up. Yeah. It's like people just don't... It's like people on the internet don't know how to act as a human being. Like, they just don't care anymore. Because they're anonymous, so they can do whatever the fuck they want.
Yep. Not exactly anonymous. People don't realize that.
Well, close to...
IP addresses are trackable, people. Unless you're smart enough to make it so it's not trackable.
Tor.
Most of you aren't. Tor is not a reliable non-tracking way. You know how easy it is to detect where someone's coming from with Tor?
It's
If the police want to find you and you're using Tor, they'll find you.
Yeah, but they can't go. That's only if they have a live connection.
Tor is
good if you want to like hide your location when you do email and shit, as long as it's not like some kind of a leak within the network. It really depends on how you configure your Tor network. If you do it well, you can make yourself pretty much anonymous. Because if you have enough jumps, then
if you're one of those people who are like, I'm downloading Tor, now I'm turning it on.
Well, it doesn't really work that way, because you have to configure it so that it makes enough jumps and goes to the server that has a VPN.
It's possible just to like turn Tor on and it'll change your IP address, but like that's the simple way, and most people think they could just do that and then get away with sending death threats. No, because it's about having
just
enough
jumps in it. Because like the way that Tor works is that you just jump between a bunch of different network servers, and so as long as you jump enough random times, they can't go back.
Yeah, you just need to know what to do.
But it makes it slow as shit. Well, Tor doesn't even do anything if you just turn it on. You have to configure it to go to other servers. Otherwise, it doesn't even hide your IP. Whatever. But, the internet. It's been real crazy the last few weeks. Jesus, what else was announced? I know PAX happened. What happened at PAX?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
Hmm.
Nothing that I know of.
All right. Well, I guess we'll wrap this up. We've been going for about an hour now. And
over an hour. Almost an hour and a half.
It took us about half an hour to set up the call, though.
Yeah.
Hour and a half because the call crashed multiple times. This is a new call. This call was it took us a long time to set up.
A long time. Yeah. Internet issues. Skype issues.
Well, we'll come back next week. We'll talk more about Destiny, probably.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell me about those raids or something.
If I'm a high enough level, we'll see.
And we'll find a guest. We had a guest. Yeah. He just didn't show up.
He disappeared.
Yeah. He was kidnapped.
Good job.
By the Illuminati. Who? The Illuminati are behind Gamergate. So they had to kidnap him. We will see you guys next week. Thank you and good night.
Bye.